ZoomZoom.com.
Missed a show? No worries. Catch every hour of every show on our webpage, WCCPFM.com. We are The Roar.
Glad to have you with us. 654 Roar. Clemson dominates. Held through the break. Clemson dominates. Thanks for hanging on, man. I hope you had a good Memorial Day.
Yeah, real good. So, watched a lot of NASCAR. I didn't watch any of the golf. I kind of wish I had now because everybody said how good it was. But did you catch any of the Xfinity race last night?
I did not. I knew it was on. Before I get into that, explain. John just asked me about Denny Hamlin's team, about what happened, why it was important, what they were accused of doing, what they did. And you're my NASCAR guy now. The 35-pound piece of tungsten. Tell us about what's the significance of that and the advantage they have there with what they tried to get away with.
Yeah, so if you lost weight on a certain side of the car and make your car lighter, so therefore, if you had known that and could have compensated for that in a different way, then you would have a huge advantage because you have a lighter car. So over the course of 400 laps, that could be a significant advantage. Anything when you're messing around with weight is a significant penalty. That's why they suspended the car chief, the crew chief, and the team engineer for the next four races, which is... those are basically the top three guys on his team, so they're going to have a really hard time trying to compete in these next four races.
And really little time, too, because they're racing Wednesday night. So it's not like they can make adjustments and get other people, go that route. So it's going to be a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. And Chase Elliott was looking at victory, which would have really been huge for the sport because obviously being the most popular driver, but with less than two laps to go, William Byron had a tire go down, hit the wall, brought out the caution, and then he decided to pit, and a few guys, including Brad Keselowski, stayed out, and he was able to hold them off. Jimmy Johnson got DQ'd from his second-place position for not meeting the because your car has to meet a certain thing after the race, and it didn't. Yeah. So that moved Chase up to a second-place finish, but still he was pretty disappointed. It's a bad way to lose a race. But last night, it was an exciting last lap finish. Kyle Busch in the Appalachian State Mountaineers car.
I saw that.
Had the App State
logo. That.
Yeah, that was cool. Super cool. Going into turn three on the last lap, got the victory. So I know all the people from the athletic department at App State were pretty stoked and were flooding Twitter with a bunch of retweets on that. As far as like performing enhancing drugs, in sports, isn't it the same as like if a say a dancer at a gentleman's club gets fake tatas, and that gives her enough advantage and she makes more money than the girl next door? The only reason I bring this this up is because I was living in Chicago at the time, about maybe four blocks from Wrigley Field, so I would walk to at least 20 games a year whenever I could. My schedule from work would allow it. And, Sammy Sosa, I mean, people didn't even care because, the excitement, it's entertainment. Okay, we're going there, we're paying for entertainment. And the possibility of a guy hitting a 500-foot home run is very entertaining for you in the stands. So as a fan, I mean, it was a cool deal, And then the way they handled it after the fact, because the team knew what was going on. And for them to totally make him a pariah after that, I just don't like the way that they treated him. Because the Cardinals and the Giants have shown a lot more class towards Bonds and McGuire. I just think that, if you knew what was going on and you took all the money from all the sold-out stands it created, it's just the ultimate form of hypocrisy. So I've always felt better towards the Cubs since then. And I remember Rick Riley. He used to come on Chicago Sports Radio every week and stake his reputation on Lance Armstrong. He would accuse Sammy Sosa of being a cheater. And then he would say, but Lance Armstrong, now there's a guy that does it right. You know, he's never failed a drug test and all this kind of stuff. And now it's like Lance Armstrong's like basically undermining him because he was on there like every week because they had these guys on Chicago Sports Radio that just loved the trash Sammy Sosa. And because they were White Sox fans and they, you know, they hated Sosa. So, you know, Rick Riley was just out there just putting his reputation on, staking his reputation on Lance Armstrong. So I was so glad when it came out finally, because Rick Riley is very egotistical. He's like the Michael Jordan of sports writers. So just really, really glad the way that whole thing turned out. But, you know, I just think that, you know, we sometimes make sports bigger than what they are. It is entertainment. We don't want to see people have unfair advantages, but at the same time, you know, there is a balance there with the fact that they are entertaining us, and this is not a life and death thing. So I just, you know, I don't know where to, I don't really get too wound up about it the way some people would, because there's been cheating throughout sports through all sorts of times, whether it was guys wearing stick 'em on their hands to catch passes, and who knows how many games have been decided by somebody cheating, or when they play right and then the officials just obviously blow a call like the New Orleans Rams game. You know, all these things that are unfair have an impact on sport, on the sport. You know, so when something does happen, it's just, you know, I think that we should, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. I think all of us are flawed. So I think it's okay to have opinions, but sometimes we want to try to think about the whole picture. And particularly when it comes to the baseball aspect of it, and when they were doing steroids, I look back at it and I just think about how entertaining it was. And if it hadn't been for them, who knows if baseball ever would have recovered, because that really was what brought baseball back to the forefront. You know, but people now just want to treat Sammy Sosa like he's a pariah, but he helped save baseball. So yeah. How do you balance that?
Hey, I appreciate the phone call. Clemson dominates. Have a great absolutely. Day. There's no doubt that Major League Baseball knew it. They post-strike, they needed people to come back in the stands. When Brady Anderson hit 50 home runs, that's wrong. Everybody knew it. Guys that had were nowhere near power hitters in any point in time in their careers were all of a sudden hitting home runs. And Major League Baseball won as a result. They turned their cheek to it. They knew it was happening, and they loved the McGuire and Sosa stuff, and they saw it happening, and they didn't do anything about it. Now, the question, the debate would then turn to what's wrong with it. If it's just if it's not hurting anybody else, let the guys make their decisions and just make it all legal or whatever. I don't agree with that at all. For many reasons. Number one, these are health hazards. It has been proven on almost all of these performance enhancers that these have a negative effect upon your body long term. Right, John? I mean, I'm not speaking out of turn.
No. There's serious
health side issues. Effects and health issues.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we won't want that to happen. The other side of it is cheating is cheating, but there's different levels of cheating. Driving 50 miles an hour in a 25 mile an hour zone is different than robbing a bank, kidnapping, or murder. So yeah. You can say, well, broke the law. Well, you broke the law, but there's different levels. A parking ticket is different than kidnapping.
Sure.
So there's different levels of that. I don't think there's anything wrong with someone saying, I sacrifice my body through hard workouts, through training and through practice, through nutrition, of doing it, everything above board and legal, and working that way to get it done, as opposed to I masked better than everybody. I mean, it's obvious that Lance Armstrong and his doctors, the way they would change out his blood, they were masking it better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want I don't want the team doctor or the physician who masks better to be a part of the equation. I don't want I took this supplement, this performance enhancer. We used to say anabolic steroids. It's not the case anymore. It's all the other things. I don't want him to say that I took this one, and it helped me more than what you took, and it helped you. I'd rather it be, in a perfect world, I'd rather it be, I worked harder than you, I'm more talented than you, I sacrificed more than you, I had better coaching than you, better planning than you. That's part of the game. What shouldn't be part of sport is a chemist and a doctor, a physician, and what we take and how we mask that we take it. And if it wasn't wrong, then we shouldn't do testing. Well, we're doing testing. We're doing testing for a reason. That inside of all of us, are there companies out there that are doing things wrong ethically? Yeah. I'd much rather say these are the laws. These are what people are doing. These are how people are doing it. Same thing in sport. Are they going to cheat? Yeah. Is gambling on baseball different than performance enhancing drugs, different than doctoring baseballs, different than stealing signs? There's levels in there. One is murder. One is kidnapping. One is bank robbing. One is driving 55 in a 35. And so that's up to you to decide whatever you think on all that. But it's clear. Here's what Lance Armstrong did. Lance Armstrong knew the rules. He chose to break the rules. He then chose to disguise the fact that he broke the rules, and then chose to lie about breaking the rules, and then chose to turn on the offensive and take people's careers down for anybody who was trying to tell the truth about what he was doing. I mean, that's wrong on multiple levels. Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire were wrong, and Clemens and Barry Bonds, those guys are wrong. They knew they were breaking the rules. They then lied about breaking the rules, or they tried to mask what they were doing and then lied about breaking the rules. Major League Baseball is guilty. There's no doubt they were guilty of it. They needed the fans in the stands. It was exciting. It was on NBC Nightly News. It was on CBS Nightly News. It was a big story the entire summer. It's a big deal. They benefited from it, and they turned a deaf ear to it because they were benefiting from it. They needed people to come back. And so Major League Baseball's just as guilty. When you're not punishing people you knew they're breaking the rules, and you didn't punish them so you could benefit, they're just as wrong. And the leadership to Major League Baseball was just as wrong throughout all of that. The hope is that now we are continuing to test, that now we are continuing to do the right things. And here's how you do it, man. Because let me back all the way up. Why would Barry Bonds do it? Well, Barry Bonds went from an all-star and a top 50 of all-time player if he hadn't been caught being maybe the greatest baseball player ever. That was incentive for him. Why would a Brady Anderson do it? Brady Anderson went from a 10-home run guy to a 50-home run guy. There's incentive for it. And then how about the guy who has the most, to me, the most incentive is the minor leaguer. I get to go from minor leagues to Major League Baseball. There's incentive there, right? So you can see even at the lower A, class A, rookie ball level, there's incentive to do it. There's college players, there's incentive to do it, so you get higher draft picks to get in, right? All the way up to the best player in the game at the time, he had incentive to do it. How do you answer incentive? You answer with deterrence. And deterrence should have been a 162-game ban, a 365-day ban. On a second offense, a lifetime ban. I talk about this all the time. I saw Brad Brunell the other day, right? He's going to come on the show here soon, too. I was like, man, why don't you guys, like, if you get caught cheating in college basketball as an assistant coach or head coach, it's a lifetime ban. Are you willing to take that? Are you willing to take it? And I think then you'd have some deterrence. When I was a kid, John, I was scared to death of this. The old saying that in certain countries, Middle Eastern countries, you get caught stealing, they cut off your right hand. Everybody has a right hand. Nobody steals. You don't want your hand cut off. So you have to have deterrence through all that. Major League Baseball, not only did they not have it through the right testing, they knew it was going on, and they turned the other cheek. The people in cycling knew what was going on. They knew it. And they turned the other cheek. They like Lance Armstrong. They like Greg LeMond. They like the story. They like the idea that this was front page news.
They like the fact that for the first time in people's lives in July, they were spending the whole month watching the Tour de France.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody was before that.
If you
outside maybe of upper management, but
right. But if you had guys that weren't doping, and they're nowhere near the performance. Who wants to see a home run derby, a home run race coming down where one guy's got 38 and one guy's got 37? Nobody wants to see that.
Nobody cares.
Give me 60?
If we're calling on Roger Maris's record, yeah.
Right. You get my attention. So they benefited from it, and they're just as guilty because they turned a deaf ear to it. They knew it was going on. They reaped the rewards of it. And then they acted like, oh, I can't believe these guys are cheating. Everybody knew it. Mark McGwire had Andro in his locker. Like, reporters saw Andro in his locker. Right? Everyone knew it. Now, the only guy that I know that I can think of off the top of my head, at least, let me back up, that I can think of off the top of my head is, you got to give Andy Pettit credit. Andy Pettit took... HGH came out and said, you know what? It was a mistake. I did a cycle, two cycle, whatever it was. I did the HGH. I thought I was doing the right thing. It was the wrong thing. I admit I did it. Did Palmeiro admit it? Palmeiro all of a sudden couldn't speak English. Roger Clemens denied it. But Barry Bonds denied it. Mark McGwire denied it. Sammy Sosa denied it. All these, Lance Armstrong not only denied it, but tried to ruin your career and went after you if you reported that. Deny. You make mistakes, man. We all make mistakes. I got caught up in Andy Pettit. I didn't know the effects of it. I knew I was doing wrong. I shouldn't have done it. I'm coming clean. So I ask you this, John, before we take a break. You hold Andy Pettit in a different set of respect level or not compared to the other guys?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I obviously lose respect for anyone who cheats.
Yeah.
But I give him a little more credit that he owned up to it versus just continuing to keep digging the hole.
Yeah.
Continuing to keep lying. I don't forgive him for what he did. He cheated. He did. But he came clean. And, you know, that's... the list of names that you just gave off of everybody who denied it, at least give him credit for coming forward and owning up to it.
Right.
Showing a little bit of responsibility there for his actions.
Texas said, Yankee fan boss, have you not heard me talk about Roger Clemens and Alex Rodriguez on the show? Have you?
I mean, you've mentioned Roger Clemens several times in the segment alone.
Right. But yeah, you can hear what you want to hear. And I've ripped Alex Rodriguez on the show many times. Okay.
Should have shot A-Rod.
Yeah. Derek Jeter, biracial angel. Should have shot A-Rod. So, yeah. Mentioned that. The several things here. One is, well, the guy said you didn't mention A-Rod and the deniers. Yeah, that's A-Rod denied. A-Rod was wrong, 100%. And I've said it on the show 1,000 times. I was kind of talking about the era of the McGwire Sosa. A-Rod was years after
the home run race
fine.
Area. Yeah,
that's fine. Anyway, hey, ZeroResGreenville.com, 558-7300. You know, John, back in the studio, I looking around right here, and you went, hey, how about this Zero Res carpet? Zero Res is doing it. They're doing it at a very high level. We love what they did here for us. Zero Res wants to come into your home, come into your business. They want to, they can wear protective gloves and masks and shoe covers and disinfect between every single job and wash their hands and before and after every single job and social distance. But right now, what a great special going on. 3 rooms of carpet clean, only $119, complimentary cleaning, disinfecting, common touch services. Schedule your Zero Res cleaning today, 558-7300. 558-7300. Schedule online at ZeroResGreenville.com. Spell it backwards or forwards. It's the right way to clean. Much more on the other side right after this.
If your loved one is no longer comfortable living in their own home due to memory loss or aging, Dominion Senior Living is here to help. At Dominion, outstanding physical, emotional, and spiritual care is the standard. Their community offers a modern, comfortable place to call home. Honoring God through service to seniors, Dominion Senior Living at Patrick Square in Clemson and Highway 81 in Anderson. Exclusively designed to promote vitality with support when needed, visit DominionSeniorLiving.com for more information.
When untamed, Water is one of the most destructive forces on Earth, creating problems that cause you to be non-compliant. Incompliance is a turnkey stormwater, lake construction, and dredging company. Water management comes with a myriad of code requirements, and Incompliance specializes in keeping your water issues compliant. From full engineering and construction to simple solutions for small problems, they're the pros. Find them at stormwaterproblems.com. Stormwaterproblems.com.
Know where you can find all your favorite Skechers shoes in one place? Skechers.com. Because at Skechers.com, we have miles and miles of styles of the most comfortable shoes on the planet. We have boys and girls shoes that sparkle and light up. Skechers.com has work shoes, slip-ons, sports shoes, casual shoes, canvas shoes, go walk, go run. The styles are endless. And on Skechers.com, you can find all the fits you need. Plus, so many shoes with Skechers exclusive air-cooled memory foam. So find all the styles, all the fits, and all the comfort. Only at Skechers.com.
Grainger Nissan of Anderson is not only the home with a lifetime warranty, but the winner of the 2017 and 2018 Nissan Award of Excellence. Grainger Nissan is here to serve the upstate with excellent service and competitive pricing. With the largest selection of Nissans in the upstate, Grainger Nissan is sure to have what you need in stock and ready to drive off the lot today. Grainger Nissan of Anderson at 3510 Clemson Boulevard, only 25 miles from Greenville, and always online at GrangerNissanOfAnderson.com.
You're scared. You cannot pay your credit cards. You cannot pay your medical bills. Someone suggests to you debt consolidation, combining them all in one payment. Can you really afford that? Is there something else you can do? Call me and see if bankruptcy can help you. Call me, Robert King. Together, we will look for a thoughtful solution to your legal problem.
Thompson & King, 300 South Tower Street in Anderson. Call 222-0200 or online at thompsonking.com. Thompson & King is a debt relief agency helping people file for bankruptcy under the Bankruptcy Code.
Hartwell Village is the ultimate one-stop shopping experience at the intersection of Tiger Boulevard and Pendleton Road in Seneca. With retailers including Aldi, Petco, Marshalls, Michaels, Ulta, Rack Room Shoes, and Five Below. Also new favorites like Aloha Nail & Spot, Five Guys Burger and Fries, Great Clips, Gypsy Taco, Whimsy Cookie, and Mr. Knickerbocker. With stores for everyone and stocked with everything you need, Hartwell Village wishes our Clemson fans a happy shopping experience and a fantastic year. Go Tigers!
Covering the upstate with a split back formation. 105.5, 97.5, and AM 1560. We are the Roar.
They said years ago, said Stones, man, I'm into the Stones. Said, yeah, Fred and Wilma, Barney, love it. Love it.
Great vitamins.
Yeah. You eat that as a kid?
Oh, absolutely.
I think one time I ate like 30 in a day or something. Probably didn't go too
How'd
well.
How'd that go?
No, I didn't go too well today. Hey, I have some great news for you. Trail is partnering with the Greenville Drive to support minor league baseball's community first campaign. Benefiting Feeding America and specifically the local Harvest Hope Food Bank, with so many people impacted by the economic changes of the COVID-19 virus, that the trail feels like it's very important to give back to the community and to help our neighbors in need. In addition to helping our community members, the Greenville Drive is going to donate future baseball game tickets to the frontline fighters of the pandemic for every $10 donated. You can go to trail.com. You can go to greenvilledrive.com. To find out minor league baseball's community first stuff that they're doing as well. These are great things. You can donate $10. It makes a difference for these folks. I love the Feeding America that we saw from the golf this weekend. You know, they raised $20 million there, John. And Trail, as I know, I just know that the people at Trail know they care individually and they care, as a company as well. And it shows. Get in touch with them. Give to this. This is a great deal. Also, the folks at Spinks and Duke Energy and the Greenville Drive, but Feeding America, you can go to online and ask more about that. The Minor League Baseball's Community First campaign and our great friends at Trail. TREHO.com, 800-319-7006. This weekend, the golf thing worked. There has to be a little bit of apprehension when you're putting this thing together. What if Tiger's back is bad? What if he didn't play well? What if Brady plays all 18 holes like he did the first 9 holes? What if the bad weather came in like it did.
What if Tom Brady splits his pants open?
Right. There's a bunch of things that could have been disastrous for it. What if the cameras and the golf course couldn't get out there and the camera weren't right? You know, it, just, it didn't come that way.
What if Justin Thomas was a terrible play-by-play?
Right. It's Justin Thomas' first time. You don't know.
Right.
Justin Thomas was enough of a smart aleck. He was. I mean,
he was perfect.
He was a wisecracker.
Yeah, that's what you needed out there.
Right. You needed that. It worked for so many reasons. First and foremost, it worked because it raised $20 million. Secondly, it worked because 6.3 million people watched it. The highest rated cable golf television in the history of the sport. More people watched it than The Last Dance.
That's crazy to me.
It's at a time where we were starved for it.
Yep.
And it's bad weather. But it worked for other reasons, too. Again, Justin Thomas and Charles Barkley were great. And now, look, you don't know. I've done this in broadcast before. You think, this guy's a great guy. That guy's a great guy. It's going to be a great show. No, and it's terrible. You got to have some chemistry among those guys. And it worked. An Auburn guy, an Alabama guy, and it just worked. And I thought Trevor Immelman was fantastic in the technical aspect of it all. It worked because you could hear the players and what they were saying back and forth to each other. There are personalities involved in it. It worked because Tiger hit it great. And because Brady had the great hole out, Peyton had some shots that counted. It would have been terrible if it was just Tiger versus Phil and these other two guys were just, you know, topping it everywhere, shanking it everywhere. All of it worked because it was intriguing. It had a storyline to it. It was competition. You could tell they wanted to compete. But the people involved with it, there's personality involved and there's flavor involved and there's a little bit of intrigue and there's some storylines and it's compelling and these personalities made it. And in these individual sports, you know, tennis needs to do something like this.
Absolutely.
Bowling, they give me this Weber guy doing all this antics in the crowd. That kind of stuff needs to sell. We need it so bad right now. NASCAR, the cheating thing, we talk more about the cheating thing. We talk more about the fight stuff or the flipping of the birds. It's about personalities. And as it turned out, I think it's pretty clear that the one this weekend was better, more viewed, and more successful than the first one. Why? McElroy's a pretty good personality. He would have fit right in with these guys. Dustin Johnson's a dud. Ricky Fowler, a really good guy, but not sure the personality plays in that setting. And then Matthew Wolff was not really comfortable yet doing whatever he's going to do. We don't know if Matthew Wolff, is he a good guy, bad guy? Is he personality-wise? I don't know. And then I didn't think the announcing was great. I didn't think the camera work was great around Seminole.
I also don't think they had enough to do when they were walking up the course.
Right.
I think they struggled there with trying to fill the time in between that.
Right. We totally agree. But this worked. And part of the reason it worked is personality. What's the guy that you're seeing on College Game Day now? He's on the radio here now. You'll see him sometimes. Pat McAfee.
Pat McAfee.
Yeah, yeah. What's his background? What is he?
So he was a field goal kicker at West Virginia and a punter for the Colts for the better part of the 2010 decade.
Yeah.
All-time points leader at West Virginia.
So how did he get to be who he is now? Like, he's a big media guy.
He started a YouTube, and then he started a podcast, and then it's just kind of unfolded from there.
The guy, and I don't know enough about him. I've seen him maybe 15 minutes total. I'm the only guy who hadn't seen him. Every time I see the guy, I was like, it's good. It's funny. It's.
I'm a big Pat McAfee fan. He makes it better. He makes those Thursday night football broadcasts much better.
He's a little edgy.
Yeah.
You can't watch it with your grandmother sometimes.
No.
But that's what I'm talking about, the personality part of it. Personality can carry a lot of bad programming through personalities.
I mean, so much so, he was a guest picker on game day
right. And
turned that into now being an every Saturday person on College Game Day.
I'm telling you, that guy's got it.
Yeah.
Personality carried through, and you're starting to see it here with this COVID-19 stuff. You got to have something. You got to have something compelling, something interesting, something intriguing. Something that can hold an audience. And Sunday was the best example we've seen yet. NASCAR's been pretty good. Korean baseball I can't get into. I don't get The Last Dance. You know why The Last Dance was good? You had so many different personalities on there. Rodman's personality different than Phil Jackson's Zen. Rodman with with Carmen Electra and with WWE. Scottie Pippen getting screwed over. Jerry Krause, and they're making fun of Jerry Krause on the thing. Jordan ripping Scottie Burrell. The chauffeur and the security guard and Steve Kerr's story. There's a bunch of different compelling personalities in it now. Not on a daily basis because it's 20 years later and had to put it in 10 so you could pick out certain spots in it. I don't think Steve Kerr's the most interesting guy in the world, but his dad's story for 5 minutes of the documentary, it worked. Scottie Pippen's not the most exciting personality in the world, but what he went through and how he went through in a couple of really big instances there, it kind of worked. Jordan and his athletic ability, but that drive, that kind of worked. Phil Jackson, like I said, the Zen stuff and how he held the egos together. Obviously, Rodman is a great example of it. All of it worked because of personality. And if you're Major League Baseball, pay attention. The NBA has already done this. The NBA knows it's about branding of those guys. I think the NFL kind of gets it. They have helmets on. It's more of a team sport where you don't see them as much. PGA Tour, pay attention, man. Sunday worked. More of that. And I'm not meaning that format. I mean, showcase your personalities. You got some out there. Some are just duds. And some you don't want to showcase. NASCAR, do it. Boxing can come back. Tennis can come back. It's about these compelling, interesting people. Get them out there and turn the boring robots off and give us those compelling people again.
Absolutely. I think you need, and I'm not saying you need to do this on Sunday at Augusta, but if you're looking at a Friday afternoon at the Valero Open, have a former player walking up and down. David Ferrer to be a perfect example of this. When he, you know, you see him walking down the course of the mics. Put him on the course. And you know what? As Justin Thomas is making the turn, have Faraday walk with him during the turn. But hey, talk about your front nine. What'd you go through? Have a little banter with him back and forth. All right, man. Good luck on the back. And then go on.
Yeah.
Get some more of the kind of like the cart interviews we were getting during the thing on Sunday. I don't think they all need to get golf carts. You know, the chosen golfers of the day. We don't need four guys in carts and everybody else walking.
Right.
But I think there's a way to do it.
Yeah.
There's a way to showcase these personalities. Get them talking. Hey, you know, that chip shot you had back on four was awful. What happened?
Yeah. How about the old chili dipper there? You know, stuff like that. Now, it's got to work. No one wants to hear Bill Belichick.
Right.
Mic'd up all the time and asking Bill Belichick questions every other quarter or whatever.
No.
If it's an interesting guy, then yeah, we'll follow it. We'll like it. That's what happens with these reality TVs. These people are living average, old, normal lives. Not average, normal, but if you... Some of them I don't get, like I watch them and go, why is this a TV show? Some of them go, you know what, these people are interesting.
Yeah. Like, why is there a TV show about those guys who run a pawn shop in Las Vegas? They've got some personality to them.
Personality to them. People want to follow them. People like keeping up with them.
Yeah.
Sports can learn an awful lot what they saw Sunday. But everybody's a part of it. Justin Thomas is part of it. Charles Barkley's a part of it. Whoever put that together, man, they did a great job of all that. And it worked. We need more of it. 654 Roar. Mike is in Anderson. Mike, thanks for hanging on so long, man. How you doing this morning?
Doing well, Mickey. Hope you are.
Fantastic, buddy.
Mickey, you sound different. Are you back in the studio? Are you still doing it from your garage, or what's the deal? You sound like you're back in the studio.
We're in the studio. We're alternating shows and alternating days. So, in other words, today we're in... Brad's at home. We're going to clean up the studio and disinfect. And then Quark and Kelly come in. And then Walt's off today anyway. And then tomorrow, I'll be at home, garage. But Brad will come in. They'll disinfect for, and then Quark and Kelly, all that kind of stuff. So we're rotating back and forth.
So a step towards normalcy. That's
absolutely.
Yes, sir. I wanted to talk with you just a minute about something I brought up with you about a month ago. And I think I said something during my conversation with you that led you to believe I'm a Corona bro. And I promise you, nothing could be further from the truth. But as I keep watching this thing unfold, and I know it's a fluid situation, a week from now it could be different than today. The more I'm listening, seemingly every day we get a report from ESPN or the national media that somebody's going to get started going and this thing's going to turn out okay. And then the next day is two steps back. the more I watch and listen about what's going on with sports, and I heard Cuomo, the New York governor, make some comments yesterday, let's do this, let's get it going, blah, blah, blah. If I were a gambler, I would bet my life that college football is going to take place. It's going to be a little different for a while, maybe all season, but college football is going to take place. The NFL, I'm sure, is going to take place. But I keep hearing these the players, a lot of the players from the NBA and Major League Baseball, every time an official makes a positive comment about, yeah, we're working on this, we're about to get it going and get it started, the players make me think by what they say that we're not going to do it. Now, I'm a diehard sports fan like you, like John, like everybody that listens to your show. But the more I hear from Major League Baseball and the NBA, the more I think both of these organizations had a golden opportunity to do something good and positive. And I understand the health implications. I promise you I do. But they have had an opportunity to get their thing going. Let's help get back to normal, get the economy rolling again, help people feel better, blah, 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 blah. I don't think they're going to do it, and I have about decided if they do do it, you know what? I can live without both of you. College football, I don't even want to think about that. But the Major League Baseball people and the NBA people, again, understanding the health implications. You know what? You had your opportunity. You could have done something great for America. But you know what? Go ahead and shut it down. I don't care anymore. And I was wondering, I'd like to get your thoughts and John's thoughts on that. And also from the people you talk with, what's the general consensus that you're getting from it? As usual, I'll hang up and listen, Mickey.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate the phone call. I am up against a break, but we're going to touch on that when we come back. And Mike, if you want good news, since March the 13th, John Hite and I have been consistent. Pay attention to doomsdayers, Corona Bros, if you want to. We've been very consistent about what we've said on several different areas. So if you only hear any segment of the last 2 months, the next 2 months, tune into the next segment because I have some thoughts on that. A short break. Hey, our friends at Carolina Heating Service want to remind you that at Carolina Heating and Carolina Heating, .com, they are disinfecting their equipment. They're coming in with their boot covers, and they're coming in with their mask and their gloves in case you have any HVAC situation. I hope you don't have to call them, but we all know that HVAC units break down. 24/7 emergency service. These great men and women are helping you out. Now, they're at their business. They're conducting wellness checks throughout the day. No employee that has it been exposed or has any kind of symptoms over a 24-hour period is allowed to come on anybody's work site, job site, home site, the past 48 hours, actually, 48 hours. So they're making sure that they're not going to, you know, do anything negative in your home. The positive part is they're going to fix your HVAC unit. 232-5684, 232-5684 is carolinaheating.com. If you want the positive side of what's going to happen in sports, come back after a short break.
It's time for another Solid Orange Clemson Classic replay this Saturday at 10 a.m. Relive the 2016 Fiesta Bowl as Clemson shuts out Ohio State. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union, Hartwell Village Shopping Center, Burton Properties, Granger Nissan, Priority One, Krispy Kreme, and Toyota of Easley. Clemson versus Ohio State, 2016, this classic game replay, Saturday at 10 a.m. on The Roar.
Hartwell Village is the ultimate one-stop shopping experience at the intersection of Tiger Boulevard and Pendleton Road in Seneca, with retailers including Aldi, Petco, Marshalls, Michaels, Ulta, Rack Room Shoes, and Five Below. Also new favorites like Aloha Nail and Spas, Five Guys Burger and Fries, Great Clips, Gypsy Taco, Whimsy Cookie, and Mr. Knickerbocker. With stores for everyone and stocked with everything you need, Hartwell Village wishes our Clemson fans a happy shopping experience and a fantastic year. Go Tigers!
Hey Tiger fans, have you heard that Lakeside Lodge Clemson is officially open? Lakeside Lodge is a one-of-a-kind condo hotel with the best resort amenities and unbelievable views of both Lake Hartwell and Death Valley. Whether you're looking for an upscale short-term stay Are you in the market for a none of the stress but all of the comforts of condo ownership? Lakeside Lodge is the perfect place for you. To find out more, go to LakesideLodgeClemson.com. Lakeside Lodge Clemson. It belongs here, and so do you.
For the past 2 months, our homes have been, well, lived in more than ever before. Kitchens have become science labs, sofas have become jungle gyms, and carpet has become the official canvas of the quarantine. Restore your home to its original glory with the help of Zero Res Carpet and Air Duct Cleaning. Right now, get 3 rooms of carpet cleaned for only $129, plus a complimentary cleaning and disinfecting of common touch surfaces. Call 864-558-7300 or schedule for your cleaning online at ZeroResGreenville.com.
Even in these challenging times, Parham Smith and Archinold, a medical malpractice law firm in Greenville, Spartanburg, and Charleston, is still accessible during regular business hours. Call and they can arrange video conferencing to assist with your medical malpractice concerns. The health and well-being of your family is paramount, and Parham Smith and Archinold is dedicated to ensuring you're taken care of. Parham Smith and Archinold, call 242-9008. Online at parhamlaw.com. That's parhamlaw.com.
We're here to tell you about Boost Mobile's new upgraded network.
That's right. Stronger signal, faster speeds, and more coverage.
So now you can get everything you want faster, like Pitbull's music.
No, the new upgraded network means you can download music faster than ever before. It doesn't mean that it will make Pitbull songs faster.
Oh, so this isn't the song.
No, this is the song.
Well, this is embarrassing.
Step up with Boost Mobile's new upgraded network. Stronger signal, faster speeds, more coverage than before. Switch and get 4 unlimited lines for $25 per line per month and 4 free LG K51 phones. Access to upgraded network requires compatible device. New customers only. 4-line offer requires at least 1 port and activation from eligible carrier. Free phone limited to 1 per line while supplies last. Customers using more than 35 gigabytes of data during billing cycle may be deprioritized during times of congestion. Offers and coverage not available everywhere. Additional terms and restrictions apply. See BoostMobile.com or retailer for full details.
The flagship station for Clemson Athletics. We are the Roar.
Homegrown alligator, see you later. Gotta hit the road, gotta hit the road. The sun ain't changing the atmosphere. Architecture unfamiliar. I could get used to this. Time flies by in the yellow and green. Stick around and you'll see what I mean. There's a mountain top that I'm dreaming of. If you need me, you know where I'll be. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. I'll be riding shotgun underneath.
Hey, we're gonna talk a lot about the future here in this segment. We're about 7 weeks away from having your taxes to be done. A lot of you out there that might have owed have not done taxes yet. Maybe you got caught up in your business, caught up in your kid's school, and you didn't do the April 15th deadline there. So they moved the deadline to July the 15th. About 7 weeks left before your taxes can be done. The staff is there wanting to help you and looking forward to helping you. They're still social distancing. They're still dropping things off at the front and putting them in envelopes so you don't get to see anybody. I missed that part of it, but that's okay. Patrick's Tax Service can help you out. Again, 7 weeks away. If you've not done your taxes yet and you've never used them before, you'll go this time and then you'll always go back. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But Russell and Donnie and the great team there would love to be able to help you out at the Patterson Tax Service. PATTAX.com, PATTAX.com, 859-8289. Again, 859-8289. And this goes for, even if you're at home and you're listening to us in another part of the country right now, you can scan an email and get it done. All right. Mike just asked a question. And John, you'd have been consistent about a couple of things. Number one is that, right now, it's May the 26th. We said this on March the 13th, on March the 26th, on April the 26th, now May the 26th. And as a result, the flattening the curve has worked. Whatever we're doing, however we're doing it, we have done a good job across the country for the most part of taking this curve down and having enough hospital beds and having enough ventilators, having enough medicine, having enough. We've done that. Testing is going up every single day. And the percentage of positive tests have gone down every single day. And so the thing that we will ask ourselves moving forward is, what is sports going to look like and when is it going to look
like some sense of normalcy. And so I have two dates for you here in South Carolina, which we pretty much really care about here, obviously. According, now again, these models aren't always correct, and these models are, you know, who knows where they are and where they're headed, who knows. But I'm looking at the University of Washington, the latest model that came out yesterday. And the last case of corona in South Carolina, according to their model, is July the 23rd. The last hospital bed needed in the state of South Carolina, according to this, is July the 5th. So, John, for instance, today in our state, today there are 132, that's projected today, yesterday there were May the 24th, there are 151 people that were in the hospital in South Carolina. It's too many. We don't like that. Still 151. By July the 23rd, July the 5th, we won't have anybody in the hospital according to this model. Maybe they're wrong. Maybe they're right. Maybe they miss it. Maybe, who knows? I'm sure they're going to, you know, redo things there. But the bottom line is, that's in 6 weeks. We're not going to have anybody left in the hospital here in the state of South Carolina. Right now, the cases in the state, bear with me a second here. Number of infections in the state. Right now, May the 25th, it was 122. On July the 23rd, we won't have any more cases according to this model. So, will we have full stands in Death Valley? Now, I do know that people are coming from Georgia and North Carolina to come to football games. I get that. And Tennessee and Florida, people come. I get that. Certainly I do. But I'm wondering, and if every governor is going to make a separate decision, and every conference is going to make a separate decision, every athletic director is going to make a separate decision, with every president, every board making separate decisions, if in our state we don't have any positive tests, and oh, by the way, these tests are going up. You're talking about 15,000 tests. On August the 4th, they're projecting that we will have 16,000 daily tests in the state of South Carolina with estimated zero infections. So I'm wondering, who knows what the medicine's going to look like then? Who knows what the treatment's going to look like then? Who knows what the weather's going to look like, what that's going to do to it? But you and I have been pretty consistent that we think that through science, through the how much time and effort and energy we're putting in this thing, through social distancing, through our mask, whatever we're doing, that we thought that it was a ways off. How can you tell me that we won't have anybody in the hospital in the state after July the 5th, projections. We won't have any more new cases after July 23rd, projections. But yet we're not going to allow people in a football game? To me, we talk about getting back to normal. We're in the studio today. I'm going to a restaurant today. I can go get a haircut today. I can go to the dentist today. What can I do? Is there anything I can't do still?
I'm not sure. I haven't really looked up the list of things we can and cannot
I can do all these things, right?
A lot more than you could do a couple weeks ago, that's for sure.
Right. And through whatever herd immunity, through whatever, I mean, all those things are working. How is it that I wouldn't feel safe going to a football game? And the other part of it, too, let's just be clear about this. And I mentioned this before, and one person didn't take it too well, John last week. If you're at risk, one's too many, right? Like, if I'm at risk, and like in my zip code right now, there's no confirmed cases. I'm in 29631, right? According to what I got, you can't go to the movies right now, someone said. Why would you want to go to the movies anyway? Hollywood stinks. There hadn't been a good movie come out for years. You stink. Anyway, so
I don't know if this is the morning for your poor cinematic takes.
I mean, Fred Cunningham said it best this morning. I always get excited about free HBO weekends until I turn it on. Then I go, there's no good movies on.
Yeah, but we know, Mickey, if you're using a free HBO weekend, you're just rewatching The Sopranos anyway.
Yeah. So on a serious note.
Yeah.
if I was at a place where, if I'm in a state where there's 200 people who have it on August the 27th, do I want to go into a football stadium if I'm 80 years old and I've got some pre-existing condition, I've got diabetes, I'm a little overweight, and I've got some respiratory issues? I would stay at home. If I was 65 and I was pre-diabetic, man, you know, a little over, yeah, you know, maybe, I don't know. If I was 25 and healthy, I'd go to the game. But these are decisions that we all have to make, to take our own risk and take it all in there. Tech said, do you sit elbow to elbow with 80,000 people at dentist? No, I don't sit elbow to elbow with 80,000 people anywhere. I sit elbow to elbow with two people, one on each side. Do those people stick their hands in my mouth? No, I hope not.
Unless they've had a couple of cocktails and aren't good at a high five, I don't know.
No. Look, I'm not telling you to go to the football game in September. I'm not telling you to do that. What I would tell you to do is, let's look at where we are in about middle of August. Is that fair? You need about 2 weeks notice. Let's make a decision. Let's don't rush off and say, nobody's in the stands, 20,000 people in the stands, 50,000 people in the stands, or 80,000 people in the stands. Let's don't do that in May.
Preach.
Let's find out, what do our meds look like? What our treatments look like? What does the case look like? Let's go at about August 15th, maybe August 10th.
Sounds like you've been listening to me, Mickey.
I have been. And let's say, you know, but considering, what are the number of cases look like? What's the treatments look like? What's the hospitals look like? What does the trends look like? Are masks working? Not working. Is social distancing working? Not working. I would make that decision about August 10th. Maybe August the 15th. You can hold off a little bit. So, Mike, doom and gloomers, Corona bros, you know. Just pay attention to those if you want to. But if I'm going to tell you, if the Washington model is right, and I'm not sure it's right, what if they missed it? Missed it by 10. What if there are 10 people who have it on July 23rd rather than nobody who has it July 23rd? John, are you encouraged by that? No hospital beds needed after July 5th in the state of South Carolina. No new cases in South Carolina after July the 23rd. Again, projections.
Sure, projections. I mean, yeah, I feel good about it, but it kind of just goes, you were kind of making the point a minute ago where let's figure it out middle August. That's just still where I stand. Me personally, I'm going to keep trying to do social distancing, do all the precautions and the guidelines they put in front of us. Only go to places when I still need to.
Yeah.
I'm not just going to go out just because I can. I mean, we'll take the lady out dinner, things like that, what have you. But when it comes to sports, especially when it comes to football, I think you said it, mid August, and let's assess the situation there. But it's positive, no doubt about it. I mean, if you look at this thing in 2 week increments, for the most part, it's every couple weeks, it's been getting better and better and better.
Yeah. So let's just say, could it make a big comeback and like we're wave two and everybody's bad and everybody's dropping dead everywhere? Yeah, it could. Yeah, good.
Anything can happen. I mean, we don't know what the future holds.
With that said, we also gave you the stats last week about the people under 80 compared to people over 80, people under 70 compared to people over 70, people under 50 compared to over 50. So, just where we are with that. Jersey Jack checks in, 654 Roar. Jack, thanks for hanging on, man. How you doing this morning?
Doing great, as long as the rain holds off a little bit today.
Oh, man. The next 4 days, I think it's going to rain the next 4 days.
Yeah, it does not look good this week, but no. Next week is another week.
There you go.
Hey, I was going to tell you, I really enjoyed watching the golf Sunday. That was very entertaining, and with the four guys had personalities, Chuck making some good comments on TV. So it was very enjoyable to watch that on Sunday.
Yeah. Do you think, was it the quality of golf? Was it the personalities? Was it the format? Was it what made it compelling to you?
I think the four personalities. You saw pro golf, you saw amateur golf.
Right.
But then all of a sudden you got some amateurs making some putts, making a shot from the fairway. So that was exciting to see. You know, I said, hey, anybody can do it. Just a matter of they're all good athletes. Okay. But the you can tell the pro golfers from the amateur golfers, because the sometimes the amateur golfers just don't know where it's going.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you this. It made you appreciate the pressure on those guys, and these are great competitors, and it made you realize that they were nervous. Mickelson talked about being nervous, and obviously Manning and Brady were joking about it. Tiger didn't mention a whole lot about it in there, but these guys were nervous, and that's okay. I think one of the things we always talk about is we try to deny being nervous. You know, the great ones, I'll say, yeah, I'm still nervous about it. I had little butterflies.
Sure, you could tell. I mean, the guys were gripping with their right hand a little bit and overcompensating. Mickelson, he'll hit the ball straight anyway, no matter where he plays.
Yeah.
But it was Tiger's home course, so he knew where not to hit it. So he was hitting a lot of fairways and greens just because he plays that course every week.
Right.
You know, so that was an advantage to him, but it was kind of fun watching him play in the range. that was crazy.
With no caddies, too, because tell you what you realize is just how important a caddy is of keeping everything dry. Now, they're in the carts and all that, but Tiger had the towel all the way around and doing it himself. And imagine he probably appreciated Joe LaCava an awful lot after seeing what Joe has to go through with the umbrellas and all that mess.
You can bet on that. Yeah, that was a lot of fun to watch. And then that rain delay in Charlotte for the NASCAR, so that was good timing there to watch the golf and then watching Keselowski win late that night. That was a great sports day. So even though nobody was at the venues, we had a good day of sports on Sunday. So I appreciated that.
No doubt, buddy. Hey, always appreciate it, man. Stay dry the next couple of days for us.
We'll try. Take care, Mike.
All right, buddy. See you, bud. That's Jersey Jack. It was the personalities, the announcers, maybe the format, the good and bad golf. It all worked on Sunday, no doubt about that. Hey, we'll come back. Love to have you with us. Tony Morrell joins us in hour number.